Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Are you ready to get into God's Word again with me today? I'll tell you what, I just literally love speaking and teaching God's Word, and God's raising me up, and I run from it all my life, and I can honestly say that I literally love doing it. It's bringing glory to our Father, and also I can help others, and that's an awesome feeling. And this message I'm speaking today, it's one of my favorite ones because it was the actual first time that I can recall getting revelation from one of the stories in God's Word that come to life and into my life and everything. But I want to look at Proverbs 4 is where we're going to go first. The title of this message is We Are the Vessels. Proverbs 4 says, "Hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding.'" So that's what we're here to get today, is wisdom and understanding, because it will protect us right here in God's Word. But this story is, we're going to be looking at today, is in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Talking about the widow's oil. Now there was the days before Christ and everything, they were the men that God worked through. They were called prophets. There's two prophets, one called Elijah and one Elijah. Now this is Elijah. He was Elijah's sidekick for many, many years. And matter of fact, Elijah is the one that had a double portion of what Elijah had. But it says here in 2 Kings chapter 4, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elijah, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elijah said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?'" I'd like for you to underline that in your Bible or remember that. "What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now let's take a look at this lady here. You know, she was a widower. She had just lost her husband, and her husband, you know, was a God-fearing man, and this woman here was just had really fell on some hard times. She had two sons, and she basically, you know, she needed a miracle from God. So she goes to the prophet Elijah. She says, "Can you help me?" See, a lot of times whenever we're asking God to do answer a prayer or something, we're wanting to walk out like out on a tree and maybe grab a $100 bill off a tree or something like that, you know. But see, God don't work like that. A lot of times, you know, the blessing's already there. It's just that God manifests it, makes it happen. And that's what we're seeing here. Elijah asked her, he says, "What do you have in the house? What do you have in the house?" Now, this woman was in a bad way. Back in those days, they were going to come repo her boys to be sold as slaves. You know, the creditor was coming to take her sons. And here's a woman that's in debt, broke, real broke. The prophet Elijah says, "Go borrow vessels," which what we would call containers today. He said, "Don't borrow a few. Borrow as many as you can." Now, this woman's already, she's in debt. But notice here what Elijah tells her. Go borrow more vessels. So she goes and borrow, her and her sons, they go borrow all these vessels. And then Elijah said, "Shut the door." I truly believe the revelation I'm getting from there, whenever he said, "Whenever you have come, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." I believe that I know the revelation that I'm getting from it is when he's shutting the door, shutting the world out, because it's just you and God. See, a lot of times we're praying to God, but we really ain't trusting God. We have faith in God, but we're not believing God for this healing or for this answered prayer, and we're still trying to get it done through the world. See, this is a miracle right here. When they shut the door and then something started to happen, and whenever they shut the world out, all of a sudden they started pouring the oil, and the oil just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming, till all of a sudden all the vessels were full, and then the oil ceased. You see, God manifested that oil to keep flowing. Or otherwise, God made it happen. A miracle. A miracle. See, is down here in verse 7, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." So this woman was in bad, bad way, but all of a sudden she's got more than enough. By a blessing which God manifested, made happen. God manifested it. You know, I'm going to tell off on myself right quick. I'm real big into bringing the darkness to the light. And, you know, I can't really speak for anybody else. The only person that I can actually speak for is myself. And I highly recommend that you read the Word for yourself, because God may give you a total different revelation from it. But I'm going to share my story with you today about the revelation that I've got from this story here, the widow's oil, in 2 Kings chapter 4. I was going through a divorce that I didn't want to be a part of, a drug addiction. Before I go any further, I'd kind of like to tell you about exactly what was going on inside of me and the reason I had gotten to this point in my life. I've always loved the Lord, but I wasn't in God's Word, and I wasn't following God in His Word. I was doing things that I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And it all boils down to, what do you have more in you? Do you have more of God's Word, or do you have more of the world? Friends, the world will take you out, but God's Word will take you places you never dreamed of. I mean, it's the manual to life. It's our you know, and if anybody tells you that, you can be a Christian without being in the Word, well, I can't. From my revelation of my lifestyle, those things I've been through, I can't see it that way. I truly believe that all the answers are in God's Word. But I want to speak to you a little bit about a lot of times when we get to feeling conviction, we want to get mad and upset. Let's look at pain to your body, same as conviction to your heart. And, let's say a football player, a pro football player, is playing in a very, very important playoff game, and he gets his knee hurt. And he goes in at halftime, and he gets an injection in his knee so that he can't feel the pain. Then he goes back out there, and he really gets hurt, and totally messes his knee totally up because he can't feel the pain, see? Conviction to our heart is doing the same thing. You know, it's telling our heart that something's wrong. I had a wounded spirit. I felt that my life, my marriage, I know, was all falling apart. And I was trying to hide from the pain of losing it and having to deal with it through a very powerful drug called methamphetamines. And I was in the middle of a terrible divorce, and I told my attorney that I had a problem, and she suggested that I go to a treatment center. And actually, I was taking classes at night, but they was for a drug addiction. We just call it what it is. But this was my third go around. The first two times I'd went was basically trying to save my marriage, but this time I knowing that the judge was going to award me there, and so I was trying to beat what the judge was going to do, but this time it was going there for me and my girls, and I didn't realize it that God had this was a divine appointment. But I had been in there a month, and oh, man, I talk about my life. It was just falling totally apart. I had a bunch of charges against me, and I had to not only hire my divorce attorney, but now I needed a criminal defense attorney as well. And I didn't have no money. I was totally broke. And this guy that was working for me, he told me that he had a friend of his that was an attorney over in Paris, Texas, supposed to be a really good attorney. So he called him, and we went and seen him. And I kind of told him a few things that happened and stuff. And he sat there and listened to me, and we was in there about an hour. And when I got finished talking, the man looked at me, and he pierced me with his eyes. And I seen like his top lip quivering. And he said, well, me being an attorney, my wife being in the being a counselor, and we both been involved in the treatment programs, I want to give you a little advice. He said, your mouth will get you in a lot of trouble. And I tell you what, my blood started boiling, and I was, I wanted to slap that man. And you see, he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. And whenever we left there, I told my friend T-Bone, I said, I didn't like your friend. And I had a few other choice words for him. Well, that same exact day, I was going to class that night, and like I say, I'd done been in there a month. And I don't know, have you ever seen that Rocky, I believe it's Rocky IV movie, where they have this big old tall Russian blonde-headed lady in there that's a pretty good-looking lady, but tough, you know? Well, there was a girl in my classes that reminded me a lot of her. Big, tall, and I mean a warrior. And her name was Bronis. I called her Bronis, the big bad blonde. And I figured out right quick that Bronis needed to be my friend instead of my enemy. So there's about 20 of us sitting in class there that evening. And like I say, this attorney's done told me that my mouth would get me in a lot of trouble. So me and Bronis were sitting beside each other, and we're all sitting in a big circle. And Sister Lynch, she was the one that God put before me to get a hold of me, and she was raised on the streets of L.A., a tough little black lady, but now a fine woman of God. And I tell you what, I love her to this day, you know, God working through her. But she called me out in class. She said, because me and Bronis, we was talking back there, you know, I always had a problem with that in class, even back in junior high and grade school and high school and stuff, there's always a problem of talking in class. So, Sister Lynch, she said, listen, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. If you're going to talk, you're going to do it outside my classroom. I'm tired of you disrupting my class. And she just kept on and on. And I finally looked at her. I said, are you talking to me? She said, yeah, cowboy, I'm talking to you. Get out. And, you know, if I'd have been sitting by the door, I'd have probably left. But I was going to have to show defeat walking through all these people. And it was very, very hard for me to sit there and take it. Oh, it was hard. So I was going home at night, and I was driving, and, you know, I pray a lot, but I talk to God a lot, too. I said, God, this ain't been my day. I mean, are you trying to tell me something? And the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit and said, you know, if you're expert in anything, it'd be riding bucking horses or rodeos or building fences, but twice in the field of psychology, in one day, you've basically been told that your mouth is getting you in trouble. So I go back to class the next night, and I sat right beside Sister Lynn. She looked at me and she said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I really don't know. But I said, I have to apologize to you, not only as a female and as my counselor and as a woman of God, for my actions in the classroom in the past. But I said, from here on out, this here is my chair right beside you. Because I had a 19-day schedule at the time that I was supposed to go in front of that judge. And I said, evidently, I've got a problem that I need to fix somehow. So anytime my chain needs to be jerked, you yank it, because I have got to get better. She walked over to me and she said, stand up. And I swear I thought this woman was fixing to hit me. But I was going to take it like a man. But she put her arms around me and she loved me. She said, thank you. And she said, told the class, she said, you see, this is where God has intervened in this man's life. A divine intervention. All I knew is something had changed in me. Something had changed. And, you know, as I get to reading in the Bible, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit. Whenever I read the widow's oil in 2 Kings chapter 4 for the first time, that quote in the Bible there, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? It just kept going over and over and over in my head. I could not get it out of my head. What do you have in the house? So I took it to prayer. I said, God, you know, I don't have no house no more. What are you trying to tell me? The Lord spoke to my spirit and said, you need to be thinking spiritual instead of physical. I said, okay, God, you're talking about my body then. Well, I ain't as pretty as I used to be. I ain't in shape like I used to be. I ain't what I used to be. The Spirit spoke to me again and said, son, I know you. I made you. But all them old dirty jokes you've been telling all these years around them rodeos and all them old wild, filthy stuff, all that profanity and everything's been coming out of your mouth. Son, I made you. But you've been letting the enemy use it. And, you know, he even took me back to whenever me and Lane Frost was running around together. Lane was a wonderful person. And had a great personality about him, had a beautiful smile, and he was a good bull rider, and he was a very good person. And everybody loved Lane. We'd be the last ones to leave the rodeo. Whenever, you know, he and I rodeoed together a lot in high school and remained friends up until the end. But just everybody loved Lane, especially the ladies. All Lane had to do was just smile. The girls, they just loved him. And I wasn't as pretty as Lane, and I was always having to talk my way, you know. So I've been talking a long time. But what is in your house? See, a lot of Christians tell us that it's not about us, it's about God. But I don't know that I totally agree with that, because I believe it's about God working inside us with His Holy Spirit to uncover the hidden treasures that are buried inside each and every one of us that makes us a unique individual, so that God's purpose will be fulfilled through us. To me, I believe that's the gospel. God working through us with the Holy Spirit. My question is, what is in your house? Are you using your gifts for God's glory? You see, I realized all along that I was letting the enemy use what God gave me. You see, we are the vessels. God pours a little bit more of Himself. It may be through His Word, it may be through the Spirit, it may be through somebody speaking into your life, but He pours a little bit more in us, a little bit more inside us, a little bit more inside us, a little bit more inside us. More God, more God, more God, more God. Then all of a sudden, we get full of God, and God starts flowing out of us onto others. Friends, to me, that's the gospel of having Jesus in us with that Holy Spirit doing His work. We are the vessels. See, God manifested it inside me. I just had to get to that point in my life where I surrendered. I said, God, I cried out to him. I said, I can't do this no more. Take me, use me. And God spoke to me through his spirit, and he said, good. We get your pride, your ego out of the way, and I can move in and do my work through you, in you. God can't work in pride. It's not of God. I wanted to share some scriptures with you here that go right along with the teaching that I'm teaching today. We're going to start here in the book of James. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's James 1:19-20. Let's look at James 3:6. James 3:6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. That's James 3:6. James 3:9-10 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You know, as I read that, I'm thinking, you know, it's a whole lot easier to bless somebody than it is to curse them. Who are we to judge anybody? See, whenever we start getting in that judging role, we start playing God. And friends, we're not God. The book of James, I believe, 4:11-12 says, for there is only one judge and one lawgiver, the one who is able to save and destroy. And that's not me or you. Let's look at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Verses 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now that's some powerful scriptures right there. So we are the vessels. Are we allowing God to work through us? Or with the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing God to use us? Now, I realize we're not all called to preach. We're not all, but we are all called to be adopted into God's kingdom through the blood of his precious son, Jesus Christ. And I truly believe that's exactly what God needs, is more servants for God's kingdom. You know, I was praying to God one time. I said, God, why has Jesus not returned yet? And the Spirit spoke and said, my kingdom's not full. I'm still taking reservations. Are you looking for a new life? If so, God takes trade-ins. Accept Jesus into your heart and into your life. Live for Jesus. He died for us. God bless you. And we hope that you got something out of God's word today. May God guide and direct your steps so that we can all bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Thank you. God bless you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.